Book of John, chapter 11. Incidentally, we're in the book of John on Wednesday nights. We're methodically going through it, systematically, or should I say, exegetically, verse by verse. And as we go through it, we're learning some things. And I tell you what, this coming Wednesday night, we're gonna find a very important thing. We're gonna be in the second chapter, and it's the wedding at Cana, and it's the first miracle Jesus did. And there's so much depth to it that there's no way I could cover it all in just one setting. I mean, I could spend a month, 2 months probably. There's so much depth to it. It's not just the surface kind of deal, okay? So come Wednesday night. But here we are in the book of John, chapter 11. Now, I spent at length one Palm Sunday preaching and teaching you about the miracle of the raising of Lazarus. Now, if you hadn't heard that, you need to hear it, because there's, again, more to it than meets the eye. This book was put together with a plan, with a design. And the miracles Jesus did were for a purpose and a reason. Now, today I'm just going to use it as our text, as a New Testament principle. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. I put the emphasis on that. I want you to catch that. Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead, D-E-A-D, dead, came forth. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, "Loose him, let him go." You may be seated. Death. Death is kind of the finality of everything. Death is probably as final as you can get. It's not anywhere that you and I like to be. It's not any day of the week that you plan a funeral, that you want to plan a funeral. Well, they had planned a funeral, and they'd buried a man, and Lazarus was dead. In the grave, dead. One time there was a man that his job was to dig a grave. And as he dug the grave, he dug it deep, so deep that he couldn't get out of it. He tried and tried, but couldn't get out of it. Everyone else was gone out of the cemetery. So he decided, well, I can't get out today or tonight. I'll just have to wait till morning when everybody comes back to work. And so he just kind of got up in the corner of that grave and fell asleep. Somewhere in the middle of the night, an old town drunk come walking through there. Didn't know that there was a freshly dug grave, and down he went into the grave. And there he stood. And he thought, what in the world? He tried, oh, so much. He tried to climb, he fall back down. He tried to jump, he tried to holler, "Hey, somebody help me, I'm down in this grave." And all of a sudden, he woke the other guy up. And the guy looked up. When his eyes adjusted, he saw that drunk in that grave. And he said, "Listen, buddy, I tried to get out, and I can't get out, and you can't get out neither." Well, needless to say, that drunk got up out of that grave. Amen, amen, amen. You see, graves are supposed to be it, final. It's over. And Jesus shows us many, many times, and even in his own resurrection mostly, but in this resurrection too, that many times what we call the end, Jesus calls the beginning. Amen. And I want you to understand that death is man's greatest fear, and rightly so. It's very appropriate. You know why? Because death was never God's design. You want to live forever. Everybody wants to live forever. Everybody wants to continue self-preservation. And you know what? That's a God thing. God put that in all of us, and God has designed us that way. And it was never his intention for us to die. He wanted Adam and Eve live in that garden to reproduce and fill up the earth. And it could have been a perfect place. But you know what happened? Sin came in. And because sin came in, death came in. And because of that, we have to face the death. And so it's never God's design. And in John chapter 10 and 10, Jesus makes an indictment, a powerful indictment against Satan. He said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And I know that he was specifically talking about the Pharisees, but he said, "Your father was the devil," speaking to the Pharisees. And so what's good for the gander is good for the goose. And what's good for the Pharisees is good for the devil. So he's a murderer. And Jesus has established this. And you know what? Satan successfully kills things. He's a murderer. He successfully kills things with malice and intention, things in your life. Things that you hold important, things that you have in your life that you love and you're precious to you. There are things in your life that had value, but the thief, the devil, killed them. For some, he's murdered your dreams. You had a dream and you said, "I'm going to dream, and I believe God's going to do this. I believe God," and it didn't happen. And now you wonder what happened. It's been dead. It's dead. Maybe he's just stolen some of your desire. People's desires have been stolen and killed. I know a lot of people that had a desire to pray at one time. They had a desire to come to church. They had a desire to live for God. They had a desire to lift up their hands and worship and praise. And little by little, the devil's come in and stole that from them, and it's left them in their dead desire. He's killed some marriages. He's killed some health. He's killed some finance. He steals, kills, and destroys. That is the modus operandi of the devil. You say, "My life, it seemed like everything's dying around me." It's because there is a real life devil in this world. But can I tell you, if I go any further, and that is this, in case you get a little discouraged, and that is Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And there's no doubt in my mind, everything that Satan has ever killed in your life, God can raise it back up. He can take you where you're at to where you need to be, because he's got the power. It's called resurrection power. Amen. See, in the criminal law, there's degrees and categories, even when the end result is death. It can be first degree murder. It can be second degree murder. It can be manslaughter, second degree manslaughter. It can be self-defense. And so there's all kinds of degrees, but the result is always the same. A person is dead as he can be, whether it's self-defense or first degree murder. It's dead is still dead. Now, the law looks at the motive. The law looks at the intent. It looks at the purpose. It looks to see if it was premeditated. Did he think about it before he did it? Was it an act of passion? Was it an act of aggression? Was it just something that just accidentally happened? You see, I want you to understand something, that the devil is a murderer, and the murder is always with intent. He's premeditated it. He's got a plan and a strategy to knock you out and then take you out. He's got a plan and a strategy, and that's his ultimate plan. He wants to steal all these things from you, kill all these things around you. Ultimately, wants to get your soul. Why? Because your soul is the most important thing. He knows that the soul lives on forever and ever and ever. And so the war that's going on right now is not over your finance. It's not over your marriage. It's not over the things that we talk about. It's over your soul. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your soul. That's why you got to understand that when things start dropping dead around you, you don't need to pray, or you don't need to ask for a funeral. You need to pray for a resurrection, because I got good news for you, and that is Jesus Christ is the resurrection today. Amen. He's not just resurrection yesterday. As a matter of fact, when before, if you could read ahead of this, he came what they thought was 3 days late, 4 days late. And they said, as they met Jesus, Mary and Martha, "If you'd have been here yesterday, our brother would have died. He wouldn't be dead today." If you just came yesterday. What was she saying? She's saying, Jesus, I know your resurrection yesterday. I know you could have did it yesterday. If you just had been here yesterday. And then the other one said, well, Jesus, I know. Or Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Do you believe me? And she said, yeah, I believe you, Lord. I know my brother will be raised in the general resurrection after a while. When it's all said and done, the smoke clears and the dust settles. I know because my brother loved you. And my brother was a part of your ministry. And my brother was, he was there for you. And I know that he loves God. So yeah, I know, I believe in that resurrection. You know what she was saying? She is saying, Jesus, your resurrection tomorrow. Your resurrection yesterday, if you'd have been here. Yeah, your resurrection tomorrow when you get there. And Jesus said, I'm here right now. Amen. And I'm resurrection right now. And I've got all power right now. And that's why he raised Lazarus from the dead. Because he is the resurrection now. Amen, amen, amen. So see what happened is, I stutter on purpose. Keep your attention. The devil intended to kill your dreams for your marriage, for your finance, for your spiritual life. He intended to. It was with intent. It was with malice. It was premeditated. He murders relationships, and that's what he wants to do, and that's what he does. The devil comes, first of all, as a thief. He comes in as a thief. He's got to get in first before he murders you, kind of like at your house. Amen. Somebody comes to murder you, got to get in first. I got news for you. You got to get in first, and you got to get past my double barrel shotgun before you get to me or my kids, my grandkids, or my wife, or my dog. Amen. You got to get past me and my double barrel. Amen. So, first of all, he comes in like a thief. How's a thief come in? A thief comes in very quietly. He comes in, gingerly walking and not stepping on anything, not making any noise. He comes in silently and stealthily. And he comes in because he has an intention to steal, kill, and to destroy. I don't like thieves. I mean to tell you, that's probably the scum of the earth as far as I'm concerned.
I don't ever hear no preacher talk like that.
Well, I'm sorry. They're the scum of the earth. You work your fingers to the bone, and they just come in and steal it while they've been laying in bed all day long and, you know, taking drugs all night long. And then they think they can steal everything that you worked so hard for. I came out of the church one day in my first church, and me and Kalita, we were walking with my kids behind us. We just finished church. We used to live right by the church. Boy, that was a mistake. Amen. Yeah. But anyhow, we came out and we were going to the house. It was getting real kind of dusky. And my wife said, Kalita said, hey, our neighbor just came out of our garage. I said, really? I said, I'm going to find out about this. And so, man, I walked up to the neighbor's house. I knocked on the door. And the neighbor's wife came to the door. Said, can I help you? I said, yeah, where's your husband at? I didn't really know him. I just knew him when I saw him. How you doing, bro? That's it, you know? I said, where's he at? Oh, he's back there in bed asleep. I said, well, you need to go wake him up. She said, what? I said, go get your husband and tell him to come here. And so here he comes. He comes to the door. I like his wife asleep out of his eyes. What's going on, man? I looked at him. I said, let me ask you something. I looked him right between the eyes. I said, let me ask you something. What is it in my garage that you were looking for? Man, you'd have thought, caught, busted. He didn't know what to say. He said, man, I wasn't in your garage. What do you mean? I've been back here sleeping. I said, well, man, it's amazing. There was a guy in my garage that looked identical to you. He's your twin brother. And then he stuck his head out the door and said, man, I hope there ain't no thieving going on tonight. I said, yeah, I hope not either. Because I want to just let you know something. If there's some thieving going on tonight, they're going to find something. You know what they're going to find? I said, they're going to find my 357 Magnum between their eyes. All righty. Thank you. Good day. Amen. Now, I just don't like thieves. You got to confront the thief. You can't just let it go on. You can't just let him slide in and slide out. You got to say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's my stuff. That's my soul. That's my marriage. That's my family. That's my wife. You're not just going to slip in and slip out and take what you want to take. I've worked hard for this marriage. I've worked hard for this church. I've worked hard for the dreams in my life. And you're not just going to come in and steal them and go away. I'm going to put up a fight. Somebody say amen. I'm going to take the word of God here. Hit you right between the eyes with Satan. It is written, I've got all power over you. You see, Jesus gives you that kind of power, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Devil comes like a thief, a low down, good for nothing thief. And I hope every thief in the neighborhood hears my voice. We just had a break in the other day, not at the church. One of the neighbors. Amen. Hope you locked your car, because there's some thieves. Hope ain't no thieving going on out here. Amen. Yeah. But there's some thieving going on right here in this church. The devil. You see, Satan, he doesn't come in with a single bullet. He doesn't come in just shoot you once. See, he's psychotic. He comes in and he thrashes and he cuts and he absolutely just tears everything up as he goes. He's not just happy with just killing your the things in your life. He wants to really make a statement. He really wants to show everybody who he is. And so he comes in and he slashes. And man, when he slashes and burns your relationships. He slashes and burns your positions, the places and the things that you hold important in your life. He just wants everybody to know that he had a hand in it. That's the kind of psychotic person that he is. There's just something that you need to know about Satan. He comes in, first of all, he kidnaps. When he steals, he kidnaps. He takes hostage. Some of you right now, he's held your prayer life hostage for a long time. Now, I'm really being metaphorical here, but I'm telling you the truth. He has held some of the things that you had precious in your life. You hold your dreams, your hopes, your finance. And you know what he comes? He just tortures them right in front of you. He just ridicules and taunts you. You see, have you ever heard the devil? I mean, maybe you didn't know it was the devil when he says, you won't ever amount to nothing. You won't never be nothing. It's never going to be the same again. You know what? You just keeps taunting us and taunting us and taunting us. And I learned a long time ago, the only way to deal with a bully is to hit him right between the eyes. Hello? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Man, I was born on the streets. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. That's the only language that they understand. You've heard my story. I told the story when I was in the eighth grade. The guy that just kept taunting me and kept hitting me and punching me and flipping me. And I wasn't afraid of him. I really wasn't. It wasn't me, him that I was afraid of. I was afraid of his friend. And his friend was probably the meanest kid in school. Now, I ended up fighting all of them, but still yet, I tell you, I didn't want to fight Jesse Davis, okay? And Jesse Davis was mean. He was tough. And man, I just didn't know if I could do it. But one day, Mike Williams hit me in the jaw. When he hit me in the jaw, I said, that's it. It's over. And man, what I did is I turned him every which way but loose. And then all three of them, there was three of them jumped on me. And I fought my way out of it. You know what? I never had a problem with them guys again. They never came back around. They never pushed me again. I mean, I could just look at him. He walked the other way. Why? Because I took all I could take and I hit him between his eyes. And then I just kept on hitting him until I got the victory. And that's what you got to do with the devil. He'll taunt you. He'll flick you. He'll punk you. And all of this is going on all the time. He's trying to steal everything you got. Well, let me tell you something. If you hit him where it counts, I got news for you. The devil will have to flee, because he said that the power of God inside of all of us is greater than the power that's in this world. Jesus Christ. Amen. See, that's the only thing. And a bully is none but a punk. Nothing but a punk. Hit him one time. Show him. Show the devil. And that's, you see, lots of us, the devil's stolen. After he steals, what's he do? He taunts, kidnaps them, and then he murders them. That's how the devil does it. Thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Amen. And you know, when you're in the funeral procession, man, that's about as low as you can go. That's about as, I mean, many of us have stood by the graveside of our dreams. You know, you figure those things are dead, you're buried, never to live again. And devil says you might as well say goodbye to them, because it ain't going to happen no more. I mean, he's told me that so many times in my life, I don't even listen to the devil no more. Praise God. I don't even take time to listen to him. Why? Because he's a liar. You talk about your fake news, man. This is fake news. Amen. And you figured you'd never see him again. Now, many of us, you know, we come and we're weighted down. We're burdened down. We got grief. We got sorrow. We all get that when it comes time to bury things. You see, the reason why, because you hold those things precious. But here's the good news. I said it a moment ago, but here's the good news. Jesus is here right now. In the story, Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was buried. Lazarus had already been wrapped up in grave clothing. Lazarus, it was over. 4 days dead. Now, I told you before, I'm going to tell you again for those that didn't hear it. The reason why Jesus waited 4 days. Not just to make a good song, 4 days late, right on time, you know. No, it's a good song, but that's not what he did it for. He did it because there was a tradition, kind of a superstition, I guess, of the Jews, that after, on the fourth day, if somebody dies, see, the first 3 days, the spirit just kind of hovers around, and there's still maybe hope. But on the fourth day, by now he stinketh. They start corrupting. And in that corruption, the spirit says, well, the body, I can't go back in the body. And the spirit leaves. That's why Jesus wanted to make sure everybody knew that it was the fourth day. Okay? And that's just a little historical, cultural fact that you got to know. That's why he waited 4 days. He wanted to make sure everybody knew there was no hope. There was no way. It had to be God that did it. And guess what? It was God that did it. He rose Lazarus from the dead. And so he waited 4 days, he came in and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. You know what? That'd been awful reassuring to me. If my loved one was dead for 4 days, and Jesus walked in and said, I'm here now. I want you to know, I know enough about Jesus to know that he can raise the dead after 4 days. When everybody says it's over, when everybody said there's no hope, when everybody says that there's nothing else he can do. Let me tell you, don't tell God there's nothing else he can do. He can do any and everything he wants to do, because he is God, and he always will be God, and there's nothing God cannot do. So don't let the devil lie to you. Oh, it'll never work out. You know, your kid will never get straightened out. Your wife will never start acting right. Just a joke. Your husband will never quit running around on you. The dirty dog. Amen. But God can arrest him. And God can resurrect him. And God can take what's dead and make it alive. I can show you testimony after testimony after testimony. And even in my own life, I don't want to bring it up so much again, but I want you to know, in my own life, when they said that he'll never amount to anything, there's nothing you'll ever be able to do for him, and he'll never amount to anything. He's just going to be like this the rest of his life. And they just said he's just dead, okay? Just mark it off. What they were telling my mama, just mark it off that he's dead, so to speak. But Jesus said he ain't dead. Amen. Like when he walked into the little girl's room and she was dead, D-E-A-D, dead to us. And he said, she's not dead as you suppose. She's just sleeping. How could he say that? Because he's resurrection. He has power. He is the one that can raise the dead. And one of these great getting up morning, he's going to raise everybody from the dead. And all the graves are going to break open. And we're going to rise to meet him in the air. And the live room ain't going to be caught up to meet him there. He has the power of resurrection. He always has. He always will. And so there you are. You're standing there. Something you prayed for. Something you believed God for. Something that you may have given to God and said, Lord, here, I dedicate this to you. And the enemy's come in and murdered it. Stole it, murdered it, mutilated it. And there you stand helpless, unable to stop the hemorrhage, unable to put the home back together again, unable to reach the waver child. And it seemed like it's the end. And it seemed like you've tried all your resources. You've tried everything. I'm here to tell you, it just makes things better when I know that Jesus is here. He's here. I find my encouragement in him. I find my strength in him. I found my hope in him. And you know what? I know Jesus, and I say it all the time, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. How do I know it's going to get better? Because he's the resurrection. It just brings me comfort to know that he's here. Now, I was a great fan of Superman when I was a kid. And I don't know if y'all remember, but what's his name? Jimmy Olsen. One time got in a safe, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but I remember that the safe got pushed out of the window some 10, 12, 15 floors up. You thought that was the end of Jimmy Olsen, but faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. The man with the S, the man of steel, came out of nowhere, pew, and he caught that safe. Put it down and rip the door off of it. And there's old Jimmy Olsen in there. That's like some of us when the devil comes. It's over. But thank God Jesus is bigger than Superman. You know, Superman had a problem. He could do a lot of things. He could fly real fast. He could jump real high. He had all power that he thought until he got to a place that somebody had a bar of kryptonite. And kryptonite just kind of crippled the Superman down to his knees. Well, I got news for you. Jesus Christ has all power. And he didn't come from another planet. He was born on this planet. He lived on this planet. He died on this planet. And he was resurrected on this planet. And he's alive right now. And kryptonite doesn't bother him. Death doesn't bother him. Disease doesn't bother him. There's nothing that can stop the Son of the Living God. He is alive. And because he lives, we shall live also. Amen. See, Jesus is here. Did you hear me? He's here. Jesus is here. And not only is he here, but he's also willing and able to help you to resurrect the things in your life. He came to Lazarus' tomb for the purpose of raising Lazarus from the dead. Amen. Oh, boy. Let me just go on here. See, when it comes to Lazarus, he didn't come just to be sympathetic. You know what I'm talking about? You see, that's all we can do. That's all that we can do is just be sympathetic. We can go to the funeral, we can hold their hands, we can pray for them. But Jesus can do more than hold your hand and pray for you. Yeah, he's praying for you. And he's holding your hand. And like the poem said, sometimes there's two sets of footprints, and all of a sudden there's just one set of footprints. And Jesus, that's when you left me. No, Jesus said, I ain't when I left you. Get a grip on things. That's when I picked you up and carried you when it was the toughest. And there have been times in my life there's only been one set of footprints, and my feet didn't even touch the sand. Why? Because they picked me up and carried me along the way. And that's the kind of God he is. He is sympathetic. He is compassionate. He is the all love. He is love. But let me tell you something. He didn't come to Lazarus' grave just to be sympathetic. The Bible said Jesus wept. He wept. And there's reasons for that. Because he's human. You say, well, he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Didn't matter. He was still stirred by the emotions of all those around him because he had human emotions. There's been funerals I've preached before I didn't even know the guy in the casket. Never saw the guy in my life. But as the family come by and started crying, I started crying too, because I could see that, you know, their hearts were broken and my heart broke with them. And that's kind of, I believe, what Jesus is doing. I know there's a lot of surmise of why he cried, why he wept, but I think that's the reason why. I think because he was human, he saw this. Even though he knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, he saw their heavy hearts and he knew what was going on in their minds. And you know what? God knows what's in your heart, what's going on in your mind. Have you forgotten that? Have you lost your faith in God somewhere? Is there something in your life that has been stolen, killed, stolen and destroyed, and you thought that's it, and you got such a heavy heart? Well, be of good cheer. You believe in God, believe also in me, he said. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, he is going to resurrect the things that are dead in your life. Amen. And you know, there's one other thing about the devil. Oh, that devil. I hate him. He says, oh, you ain't supposed to hate nobody. Well, you better hate the devil. Right. Amen. See, we expect criminals to be, you know, to show some remorse. We expect that, don't we? You know, they did something bad and they got to get up to the podium and say, I'm so sorry I did it. I promise you I didn't mean to do it. It just, I don't know. I've never been in that place. I've seen it happen and I've seen, you know, maybe it helps the people a little bit, but you want them to have a little remorse. You want them to say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. Not the devil. He has no remorse. I've met some people like that too. Like the guy that I had to usher out quickly, forcefully, that turned to the murder victim's family and said, I may be going to prison for the rest of my life, but he's dead. And brother, I want you to know that got me. That really got me. But I said, that's just like the devil. See, he has no sympathy. He has no compassion. I mean, his heart is hardened. And he says, you know, you just don't like it. Yeah, I killed him. And you know what? If I had another chance, I'd kill him again. Man, that gets me. Get this down, brother. Satan is a psychotic. Supernatural psychotic. He has to be crazy. I mean, he fought with God. Anybody that fights with God is nuts. Amen. I mean, he'll murder the things, and then he'll show up at the funeral and laugh at you. I don't know about you, my mama's still alive. I thank God for that every day. But when it happens, and I have to take my mama to the grave, and I lower her down, somebody comes walking up and says, hey, guy, looks like your mama didn't make it, did she? Well, she's nothing but an old witch anyway. Oh, boy, you better believe, oh, boy. because I'm going to be in a suit, but I'm going to take that suit off real quick, and I'm going to be all over him. I'm going to say, listen here, buddy, you're fitting to join her, amen, because I'm going to kill you, amen. Why? Because, man, you're not going to come to my mama's funeral and make fun and laugh and say, you know, she deserved what she got. I got news for you. You can talk about other people. Don't talk about my mama. And you know what? Jesus knows where you're at your dilemma, and if you let him, he'll take up for you. If you let him, he'll give you power. If you let him, he'll give you what you need. He'll resurrect. Oh man, I want you to know that he is God, and he's still God today. So let me close. I cut this way short. Not because I care for you, but because I care. Just kidding. I want you to listen to me. Some of y'all are done tuning me out. I'm just kidding. But listen to me. Why do we let the devil kill and murder things in our lives? Then watch him sit back and laugh in our face. We come to the funeral where you bear those things. And he mocks you. He jeers you. And you won't find out what's necessary to take him out. See, what I'm trying to do is give you like a devil bashing word today. I'm trying to give you like a hell busting word, a Satan destroying kind of word. Okay, you don't have to put up with it. You absolutely do not have to put up with it. Now your situation right now is not going to change, okay? But when he does what he does, it'll change. But until then, you can't sit at the grave and cry and weep. You got to say, come on, Jesus, I'm waiting on Jesus. He's going to get here. He won't be here. I believe that's what faith is. It's faith is saying, I know my situation is real. It's not saying, I don't confess it. Man, I confess it. It's dead, okay? You can't. If you don't confess it's dead, then it can't be brought back to life. When Jesus came to the tomb, they didn't say, well, Jesus, we're glad you're here. Well, where's Lazarus? Oh, he's okay. I'm not going to confess he's dead. And Jesus said, well, all right, guess you don't need me then. Amen. Yeah, come back, Jesus. I need you. I confess it's dead. I confess it. I need a miracle. I confess I need a healing. I confess that I'm sick in my body, and I need God to give me a touch of his anointing. It's all right to say that I need help. It's all right to say I need healing. It's all right to say I need a resurrection in my situation. You got to confess that you do. Amen. See, you got to say, Satan, yeah, Jesus is coming. That's okay. Laugh all you want to laugh. Make fun all you want to make fun. Cheer, whatever you want to do. Just go right on ahead, because I got news for you. He's coming. Now, he's coming. I don't know when, but he's coming. What's that old song the old people used to sing? You may not know when, you may not know how, but he's no, that's not it either. But nevertheless, you may not know when he's coming. You not know how he's coming. You may not know what at time he's going to show up. But I got news, and it's good news. It's the good news of the gospel. And that is, he come to resurrect us. He come to resurrect us. And that's not just our lives, our bodies. After that, we die. Though that is the ultimate resurrection. And we'll be changed in his presence. But he also came to resurrect the things that are dead. The Bible said that the cankerworm and the pommel worm and the caterpillar eating up everything. But the prophet said God will restore that which the cankerworm has eaten, which the pommel worm has destroyed, that which the devil has taken in your life. I got news for you. It's time to take it back. And it's time to say, Lord, you are the resurrection. I'm just waiting on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, run and not faint. You see, Lazarus is a parable. Come back. Is a parable of our lives. No, it wasn't a parable. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it can be applied to us as a parable for our lives. Because his story is our story. His story represents us. Lazarus represents. And I keep using the word dreams. I don't know why. If it's God's dream, God wants, he's going to fulfill it. Look at Joseph. Now, if you got some old dreams in your mind, you know, I got a dream. I'm going to hit the lottery. That ain't the kind of dream I'm talking about. I got a dream, and I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Well, if God gave it to you, that's fine. But if God didn't give it to you, you need to close that dream out and let God dream for you. Amen. But I can tell you, Martha and Mary had great vision for Lazarus. They had great dreams for their brother. They had purposes, plans. And now he's dead. Lazarus represents the things in your life that you love. He can restore it. He can. The Bible said he restored it. And let me just say this. You know, he doesn't restore like if you got a scar and some bar fight you got. He can't restore that, okay? Got to go to a plastic surgeon for that. Amen. But he can restore your reputation. And he can restore your dignity. And he can restore all of the things that have embarrassed you. Because here's what the devil does. He wants to put on display everything in your life that he's destroyed. You know, he's not just interested in, you know, you getting a divorce. He wants to show the whole world, I'm the one that split them up. I'm the one that destroyed that marriage. I'm the one that destroyed that life. I'm the one that snatched that kid out of the fold. I'm the one. Well, let me tell you something. He's the one, and he's the one that's going to have to pay for it. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You see, the devil, what he has killed, Jesus can resurrect. The things that you think are dead, Jesus can resurrect and bring back to life again, much like Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. See, he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. He'll speak to those things. I know there's a doctrine going around saying you can speak the things which aren't as though they are, but that's really taken out of context. There's no power in your words. I want you to know that. Well, there's the power of life and death in the words. Don't take it out of context, my friend. There's no magic in your words. That's New Age. I don't know if you understand that or realize that. That's a New Age doctrine. And preachers have taken hold of it, and man, they're teaching New Age stuff. Why don't they just stick to the book? Stick to the Word of God. But you see, he can speak things. That's what the scripture's talking about. He can speak things as though they were not, as though they are. Now, you don't believe me, just go home and Google it and look it up, okay? Just look at it all in context. That shouldn't take the air out of your balloon. That should, or your sail. That shouldn't destroy your faith. Man, it ought to put your faith back in Jesus. I've seen people, well, I confess it. I spoke it, I'm speaking, and nothing happened. Because you know what? You got no power in your words. You got to speak the Word of God and let God speak to the thing. That's the only way. And he'll do it. You can't do it till it's out of your hands. And that's the real lesson here. Don't give up. Don't mourn a funeral, but pray for a resurrection. Don't give up on God. Don't quit believing. He can change it. He can change it. Father, in Jesus' name. God, I know that the Bible says you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you.